Well, this past a week ago Saturday, Kay and I enjoyed the sights and sounds of Boston. And we were able to do so with our two sons, Andrew and Anthony. And one of the highlights was the Los Angeles Angels and Red Sox baseball game at Fenway Park. In case you're wondering, the Red Sox won 9-0. But the best part of the day was the time that we had just to talk and to share. And one subject Andrew brought up was the need that we have as dads and leaders of the family to be warriors, battlers for our families. I certainly agree, because Satan is doing his best to destroy the family, to make it unrecognizable from God's perspective. Today, it seems like almost anything passes as a family. Well, we can only be effective warriors through God's grace. And this divine favor is ours through prayer, through a knowledge and obedience to the Word, and through faith in the God of the Word. Now, an Old Testament story where this faith in God is on full display is witnessed in the Battle of Jericho. And you know the song, I'm sure you've sung it numbers of times, Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came a what? Tumbling down. But the question is, how did Joshua, this warrior, successfully fight this campaign? How did he fight the evil of his day? How did those walls come tumbling down? Well, the answer is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, which says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith. After they were compassed about 7 days. Friends, God leveled the walls of Jericho after seeing the faith and obedience of Joshua and the Israelites. So the lesson here is, we as warriors for our families overcome the enemy by faith. I think of 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith literally takes God at his word. It believes that God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, meaning faith actively seeks and eagerly follows after the object of its faith, the living God. Faith believes God. Why don't we believe God? I mean, can't we put our faith in God? I would think so. Now, for the believer, Jericho represents the world system. And this way of thinking is strong and it's formidable. And it stands opposed to everything that God stands for. But we can sing, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Now, this morning, I want us to study a warrior named Joshua and how God used him in the conquest of Jericho, an enemy conquered by faith. And specifically, we will examine how true faith works, meaning how it can be characterized, which answers why faith in God is so effective in its conquest. Why faith in God wins every time. Well, Joshua 6:6 says, and then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant. In Joshua's chapters 3 and 4, the ark is mentioned 16 times in regard to the Israelites crossing the Jordan. And here in chapter 6, the ark is mentioned 8 more times, which says the ark was very prominent in Israel's success. In fact, the first thing that God told Joshua to tell Israel to do at the doorstep of Jericho was to take up the Ark of the Covenant, then bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and then third, go before the Ark of the Lord. Now, why such an emphasis on the Ark? Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God's presence. The Ark was the visible manifestation that God, Israel's leader and commander, was with them. And where God is, where he is present, there is victory. Now, I'm so grateful that Christ has assured us that he is with us. When he gave the Great Commission, he said, "And lo, I am with you," what? "Always, even unto the end of the world." And thus, by faith, we can claim in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, this present God that hath loved us. Which brings us to our first point this morning, and that is a warrior of faith knows of God's presence. A warrior of faith knows of God's presence. And thus, he comprehends that God is a very present help in times of trouble. I think of God's words to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, where God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." God's presence and rest, we see, go together. And our response should be that of Moses, who said, "If thy presence go not with me, do not carry us from here." Now, please understand, God's presence is realized by faith, not by some sense or feeling. And therefore, as God's warriors, we can fight in the blessed consciousness that we are not alone. The captain of our salvation is with us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art" what? "With me." Your presence is with me. "Thy rod and thy staff," they what? "Comfort me. Thou preparest a table," thou, your presence, "preparest a table before me in the presence of my" what? "Enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." Again, Israel realized that divine presence in the Ark of the Covenant, which tells us that faith is marked by the acknowledged presence of the living God. And so as warriors, we are not alone. God is with us. God is with us. When you go through the day, dads, moms, young people, grandparents, do you know, is your faith experiencing the presence of God? I'll tell you, you'll run through walls when you know God is with you. Now, continuing, faith not only lays hold of God's presence, but it then follows God's plan. And so point number 2 is a warrior faith is characterized by obedience. He pursues divine orders. In other words, there's not an argument. "I don't know about that, God. I don't know about that. That to me seems impossible." No, a man of faith, knowing of the presence of God, pursues what God wants to do through him. We won't take time to read all these verses, but in verses 6 through 15, God specifically commanded Joshua and Israel what to do. And what did God command them to do? Well, to march around the city once for 6 straight days, and then on the seventh day, to march around Jericho 7 times, during which time 7 priests were to blow ram's horns, which was then to be followed by the ark. Now, let me just kind of give a parenthetical aspect here to the message and describe why God told Joshua to have the priests blow ram's horns. The Jews used 2 different types of trumpets, those made of silver and those made of ram's horns. The silver trumpets were blown to signal to the camp, and you can find this in Numbers chapter 10, that something important was about to happen. So whenever you heard these trumpets, these silver trumpets, you needed to kind of listen. What was the sound? What were the toots that were being made? For example, these trumpets called the people together. Number 2, they said to the Israelites, it's time to journey. A third thing that these trumpets told the Israelites to do, and that was to call the soldiers to arms. Whereas the ram's horns were used primarily for celebrations. The Hebrew word for trumpet, you probably know this, is shofar. And the Hebrew word for a ram's horn is jobel, which is the root of the word for jubilee. And so when the priests here blew these ram's horns, they were not declaring war. They were not saying it's time to begin a journey. They were not trying to call people together. But they were declaring, they were proclaiming liberty as they did in the year of Jubilee, the 50th year after 7 sabbaticals, which was, as you know, a special time of celebration. They were declaring liberty throughout the land. They were saying, God has already given us victory. And so we fight not for victory, but from victory. When these ram horns were being played, Israel knew that they were already celebrating victory. Wow, that is faith. But then the people who followed the ark and the priests were told in verse 10 to do something that was pretty unique. And that was, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. Friends, God was simply saying to Israel, be quiet. Don't talk. Now, this divine command of silence was a test of Israel's discipline, because it's hard not to do what? Talk. How many of you, if you were told you can't talk, you would have a problem? I think a lot of us would. It's just kind of a natural thing, amen? But most of us like to talk, and or we feel like we must talk. We must say something. You know, we feel like we must make a comment. You know, we have to say something about what's before us. Sometimes when we have been driving our 3 Maryland grandchildren in the car, the decibel level can really get pretty high. And so maybe it's just me, my carnal sensitive ears coming out, but I have suggested to the 3 tornadoes, let's see who can be the quietest. I think I've even offered an award for the grandchild that would be the quietest. Just be quiet until we get home, okay? But this self-control is vital for a warrior. For James 3:2 says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or a mature man, and able also to bridle or to control the whole body. You know, if you're going to be a successful warrior, you've got to be disciplined. You can't be out of control. You have to be able to take orders. You have to be able to follow orders. And so if God says, be quiet, and you can follow that command, God says that's powerful. Your spirit controlled. And so the control of the tongue is the key to discipline. Now, in the Christian walk of faith, there are times to speak and there are times to be quiet. And certainly the Lord Jesus is our perfect example of this. Remember, Isaiah 53:7 says of our Lord, when he was oppressed, when he was afflicted, he did what? He opened not his mouth. What he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he did what? He opened not his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But again, Israel was told to be quiet, which put a great restraint on their natural inclinations, and especially in light of the fact that no clear explanation was given why this order was necessary. How many times when God says, I want you to do something, we raise our hand and say, why? Why? You know, sometimes God doesn't tell us immediately, or maybe even now, why? God simply says, this is what I want you to do. And here is where faith comes in. Faith simply hears God say, be still and know that I am God. I know what I'm doing. My plan will work. In fact, my plan always works. And so our response is like Samuel, speak, for thy servant heareth. I'm ready and willing to serve you. Lord, I'm hearing what you have to say. Remember, it's hard to hear God speak, to hear his instructions, if we are always talking. There are times to obediently be quiet and listen, especially when God is trying to talk to us. Remember when Israel was confronted by Pharaoh and his army by the Red Sea, God told them, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I'll fight for you. Just be still. Now, certainly in this Jericho conquest, the profound silence observed by Israel had to add impressively to the gravity of their procession. Think of the effect such stillness had to have on the citizens of Jericho. Think of the tension that had to build with each passing day, each time Israel circled the city. Citizens of Jericho said in their hearts, what is Israel's great God of wonders about to do? You know, they knew about Israel crossing the Red Sea. The city of Jericho knew that God had given the kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og, into Israel's hands. And now they observed this army of people carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the ram's horns blaring, but the people being silent. I'm sure it just had a suffocating effect on them. I say, might the world around us have this same wonderment when they see us quietly following God's directives. We aren't saying, hey, look at me. Look at how spiritual I am. You simply quietly say, Lord, I follow you. Your presence, I follow. That gets the world's attention. Well, we come to our third point. A warrior faith is characterized by patience. He knows of God's presence. He is disciplined in his obedience, and he is patient. As we read in chapter 6, the walls of Jericho did not fall down on day 1, did they? They did not fall down on day 2, nor 3, nor 4, nor 5, nor 6. And think about this. No less than 13 journeys around a city, some 350 yards long from north to south and about 180 yards wide from east to west, were completed before God's power was displayed. The point is, Israel had to wait on the Lord. But what is wrong with that? God's victories always come in God's way and in God's time. And faith accepts this fact, and thus it waits on the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah tells us when we wait on the Lord, we renew our strength. You know, you think, boy, it's hard to wait. It's hard to wait. We are such impatient people. But when we wait on the Lord, God infuses us with his strength. He tells us to wait on him, and as we wait on him, he gives us the strength to wait on him. Lamentations 3:26 states, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." It's not ours to decide when it's victory time. It's ours simply to obey and then believe that the God we are obeying, who is never in a hurry, will enable us to reap if we faint not. In fact, when we wait on the Lord, again, we are renewed. In fact, we mount up with wings as eagles, we run and are not weary, we walk and do not faint. And waiting on the Lord causes us to have to look, and this is the beautiful thing about it, causes us to have to look to depend on, to lean on, to trust in the one we are waiting on. And that is the Lord. And how that matures a warrior's faith. Psalm 62:5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Hebrews 10:36 states, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Honestly, there's something sanctifying about the patience of hope. To preserve and persevere in the cause of that God has appointed us to expect this known God, this one who is the living reality to the soul, to be counted on, to be faithful, to keep in his time his word, is truly a sanctifying reality. God's warriors wait on him. Today we have matters that, honestly, we are waiting on. But you know who we're waiting on? The Lord. Let me ask you this. Has God ever failed you? If God has ever failed you, please stand. We can faithfully wait on the Lord. And so let us run with what? Patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our fourth point is a warrior of faith has assurance. I want you to notice verse 16. "And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." During all their circuits around Jericho, Israel had been commanded, as I just said, to maintain silence. But then in following their disciplined obedience and patient endurance, they were ordered to shout. Why? Because Joshua assured them that the Lord hath given you the city. That's a good reason to shout. Amen? But please understand that this shout was to be made while Jericho's two high parallel walls still stood intact. It wasn't that the walls fell down and then they were to shout. It was to be made while Israel was still on the outside looking in, which made it a shout of faith, which made it a shout of confidence in God, a declaration of full assurance that God would fight on their behalf and reward their patient obedience. Again, this shout signified Israel's persuasion that victory was certain. So what we have here is an unshakable belief that God will make good on his word. And that belief was pronounced by a what? A shout. It was declared by a shout. Let me ask you, when was the last time you shouted? Because you knew God was going to give you the victory. Have you ever done that? Have you ever shouted before the answer came? That's faith. There are a number of examples of this in the Word of God. I don't have time to give them all. I think of David standing before Goliath. What did he say? He said, "Thou comest to me with a sword or with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Wow. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Friends, that was a shouting time. Had David defeated Goliath yet? No. But he was shouting, "It's coming, it's coming." I think of Job. In Job 19, verses 35 or 25 and 26. And you know about Job. I mean, you know what a tough time Job had. I mean, if anyone went through the deep trials of life, it was Job. But what did he say? "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." He was shouting, folks. I think of Paul saying to the mariners as they face this awful storm, "Be of good cheer, for I believe that it shall be even as it was told me." And what did God tell Paul? That you will be rescued. Stay with the ship. As long as you stay with the ship, you'll be rescued. Friends, that was a shouting time. God wants to hear our shout of assurance even before our faith is realized. God wants us to testify to others that we know our God lives and that he will reward them that diligently seek him. How much shouting do you do? When missionary Robert Moffat, who had served for years in Africa without seeing a single soul come to Christ, received a letter from friends in England asking him to specify what they could send him, do you know how he responded? He said, "Send me a communion set." Send me a communion set. Friends, that was his shout of victory. Well, months later, when it arrived, more than a dozen converts sat down with him to remember the Lord's death. And I say, might our faith as warriors be so strong in the living God that we are constantly assuring others that our God, who has promise that, again, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, that nothing will separate us from the love of God, is faithful even while we wait for the victory. And so we shout, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. For we know that the Lord heareth and delivereth us out of all our troubles. And then the last point, a warrior faith triumphs. Notice verse 20. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat,